What's up, guys? We are back, your High Street Freaks. It is a post-spring edition of High Street Freaks. I believe spring football has wrapped up across the country, so it's not just us. And now we are in the doldrums of the off-season. So naturally, we're going to talk a little basketball. You know, there's still Ohio State stuff, too. There's always football to talk about. But I don't know. I'm feeling good, generally speaking, about everything Ohio State sports related heading into the off season.
Yeah, I think the vibes are up. There's, you know, like I just still have that voice in the back of my head, which is just like my hater gene that I think is probably why a lot of you guys listen to this podcast that tells me, you know, don't believe his lies yet in regards to Ryan Day or in regards to the basketball program. But I agree that things feel better right now and look pretty good. It definitely feels like vibes are up. Maybe, or is it possible that we're just ending our seasonal depression and it's like getting warm in the Midwest, which is why we all feel good?
You know, that definitely probably plays a role. I think like you cannot understate the power that comes when the sun comes out in the Midwest. And it's just like those first couple warm days, the beer tastes better, the food tastes better. You want to like go outside and like run or like walk, like it's outdoor basketball season. It is just like, that is what it is in Ohio. You just like, as soon as the weather comes out, you're a different person.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I'm making my return to Columbus this weekend. So I'll be seeing some of the old haunts. I think you and I have a little couple plans to hang out there.
Yep.
So
yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah. Go back to the old stomping grounds, get some beers in there, enjoy the weather. I think it's gonna be like 80 on Saturday.
Right? I think something so. Like that. It's gonna be super nice.
Excited to get my first sunburn of the year.
Are you a burn easily guy? Yeah, you seem a burn
so
easily guy.
Pale. Yeah, really? Yeah. I mean, I'm bald and I'm pale, so yeah. I'm not afraid of a bucket hat if needed, but yeah, I burn pretty easily.
Yeah, I also am rocking the skinhead look. Famously not a skinhead though. Don't get that confused. But I do not burn easily, thank God. So I have learned the pleasures of the sunscreen on top of the scalp. I've been doing that for a few years, but I still don't really burn easily, at least badly. I usually know, like the people who burn easily, they have like no warning period. It's just like you go outside and then all of a sudden like you're a lobster. I at least will know, like I'll start feeling crispy and be like, I should, you know, put on sunscreen or whatever. But I feel for you guys, because just all of a sudden you're just like looking like Ohio State scarlet uniforms.
It happens fast. I remember like one of the first times I was like, you know, I don't know. I guess when you're like, this is maybe I'm gonna sound like a child when I say this, like when you're in your parents' house, like when you're like an older teenager in high school. Like, I don't know, but my mom was always just like, here's your sunscreen. Take a bottle of sunscreen with you. And I went to college and I remember Ohio State's spring game my freshman year when they played it at Paul Brown, Cincinnati, because the horseshoe was being worked on. I went down with my friends and we sat like in a corner of one of the end zones and all of us got half of our faces burned.
I love that.
The way the sun hit. Yeah.
I love that.
Based on where the sun was at. So we're all walking around like two-faced and I got really fucking fried on that one.
Yeah. The spring game always gets you. Like it is notorious for giving people just wild sunburns.
You're just not thinking about it. You're like, oh man, it was like 45 degrees last week. I'll be all right.
Well, and then it's like 60 and you're just like, you know, nobody burns in 60, but like if you've been inside for the past 6 months, like, you burn in 60.
Dude, I'm so white that I got a sunburn in Iceland.
Ooh, that's brutal.
I'm a different level, but man. Anyway, yeah, I think we're all feeling better. Kevin, I realized that we forgot this last week, so I'm just going to completely roughly transition really quick. We should tell the folks about our website. You and I write at meetatmidfield.com.
Yeah, we do that a lot. We completely fumble on the fact that the only reason we're doing this is because we started a website. Tell us about the good website of meetatmidfield.com.
Yeah, it's our website. You and me work there. Patrick as well, our good friend, Taylor Fulton. We have a good little team covering Ohio State football, national college football, the Big Ten, Michigan, kind of all around all the things we all care about in sport. We have premium articles, premium episodes of this podcast every week, including one right after you hear this one. If you want to sign up, there's a premium podcast available right away. You also get access to truly the best message board in college football. Just some of the best psychos, but like not in the psychos the way you get on like a, and this is no shade to the guys at Dot on the Eyes. It's not their fault, or I'm not talking about their website, but like a Rivals board or a 247 board. When you get like 75-year-old men who want to tell you about their retirement plan and also why school should be segregated, you're getting kind of the psychos, the psychos who somehow know a football coach's home address and or like a referee's and will tell you if they're, you know, not recruiting right, or will pull up like, you know, calling Justin Fry lazy with a completely well-documented like numerical evidence on the boards. That's the kind of great guys we get. Right. It's honestly the best message board in college football. This podcast, I think you guys have listened to this free one and you want more of it, or you want to read our articles, you should all subscribe at meetatmidfield.com.
Yeah. I mean, I subscribe famously. I will say my subscription is, covered by the cost of me working here, but,
kind of a company store set up. Yeah.
Right. I would subscribe even if I did not, work here and do these podcasts and write the words. So, look, come hang out with us. Genuinely, it's the best college football community. It just puts you in elite company. So, come, you can heckle Bill Landis on there or something. Especially, I know a lot of you, maybe not everybody, listens to the premium episodes, or not everybody here is subscribed. Not everybody who listens to the podcast is subscribed to the premium episodes, but I mean, every week we do a second half of the podcast where we get a little deeper, or in a lot of cases share a little bit of extra information, some side stories, some stuff that we're not just going to share to the unwashed masses. But if you give us some money, you can know.
We can be bought
for sure. Yeah. We are not, let's be honest. Like it does not take much either. Just a little bit of the, A little bit in our pocket, and we'll sing like a songbird. So yeah, come hang out with us. Come listen to the premium edition, and we'd love to have you.
Oh yeah. Kev, what are we talking about today?
Yeah. So I think first, believe it or not, we are going to talk about Ohio State basketball and the transfer portal generally. Well, not generally, pretty specifically. The first one is Roddy Gale transferring to Michigan. Initial thoughts. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, what a fucking loser. Yeah. People are like downplaying this because it's basketball, whether the rivalries are the same in basketball, and that's fine, that's true, whatever. But any person who attended Ohio State or Michigan and goes to the other school, fuck you, dude. Come
100%.
On. 100%. It's just such a hard line. Like, I don't know. There's no world where I can imagine thinking, for any Buckeye to go to Michigan or for any Wolverine to go to Ohio State, it's just not acceptable. It's not like, have some pride as a human being, right? Have some convictions. And it's, I think, pretty clearly a deliberate move from him. Like in the sense that because Ohio State took Michi Johnson and basically, I think, recruited over Roddy and was going to kind of send him to the bench, that's why he went to Michigan out of spite. Which is fine. It's not fine, right? I think it still sucks, but
yeah,
I respect being a hater, but I think there are just certain lines where it's like, if you ever came to Ohio State in the first place, why would you ever go there to Michigan?
Yeah. And I don't think it's quite to the same level as, because the Michigan people are celebrating stealing a player from Ohio State, and which is hilarious to me. I don't think it's quite to the same level as like Tony Alford, but it's up there. Because, like, the reality is that Ohio State had a chance to bring him back, and it was an active decision to not give him what he asked for, in a sense. My understanding of the situation was money wasn't an issue. It's not about money. Anybody thinking that Michigan just, like, opened up the pocket, like, that's not what happened. My understanding of the situation was that he simply wanted essentially the offense to run through him. He wanted more shots. He wanted the ball more often. He wanted more minutes. And Ohio State basically heard that and was like, well, best of luck, you know, go get that wherever you want, 'cause it's not going to be here. And it makes sense. Ohio State brought in a volume shooter in Michi Johnson, and they want Bruce Thornton, the game to run through him essentially, and him to be take more shots and be more aggressive scoring. There was going to be fewer shots for Roddy Gale. Like it just was. Like there was just no way in hell that he was going to be the focal point of Ohio State's offense. And so, like he is a pretty good shooter when he's hot. He's a very good shooter. He can score. He can't dribble. He can't like run the offense. He's not a point guard. Like if Michigan sincerely is, if they sold him on what he was essentially asking for at Ohio State and what he was seeking at Ohio State, they're going to be an NIT team or they lied to him. Like either way, like maybe he goes and he's a completely different player than he was at Ohio State. Like there's a chance he could get better. Maybe, you know, Dusty May is going to develop him better or use him better. But like, if he is just the same player that he was at Ohio State and they are wanting to run their offense through him, essentially, that's an NIT team. So best of luck.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of the stance where I'm at. I think you have a better read on these guys than I do, but that seems true to me just from what I've seen. So let's talk through two other players here really quick. If we had this one on the agenda, but Felix Akpara left, right?
He left. Yeah, that was funny. That was funny. I love the 100% committed, committed to running it back with the big, like, I'm back at the top of his graphic. And then like 2 weeks later, you know, calling it quits and dipping out.
Yeah.
I loved the original
kind of a Jaheim Singletary move.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I love the original, tweet, like his original I'm back tweet was on April 1st. So maybe this was just an elaborate April Fool's joke that he just like let simmer for several weeks. I don't know. But it was very funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Very funny. I mean, I guess the question I'm curious about now is the Bradshaw kid. I think we talked about him last week in this pod. He's a bit more of a stretch player, right? He's like a traditional like post big, but I don't know. And he's a 7-footer. I'm sure he can play there on defense, yeah. But I'm curious what it looks like on offense.
So my read on this is based on the players that Ohio State was recruiting out of the portal / got with Bradshaw. I'm not convinced that Gale was going to start. I don't think that he was going to.
Akpara.
I'm sorry. Not Akpara. I am not convinced that Akpara was going to start. We'll talk about an incoming guy who I'm pretty sure is going to end up committing to Ohio State in just a second. But just based on the lineup, I'm pretty sure Bradshaw is going to start. And if he was the only guy that they brought in, sure, you can roll with Bradshaw and Akpara. But they're recruiting a few more post players out of the portal, as they should. And I think he could probably read between the lines of what was happening and realize, like, look, if I don't get out, I'm going to kind of see myself in a situation where I am not like, I don't have the role that I thought I was going to have here. And my understanding was kind of similar to Gale, where he started putting pieces together and realized quickly, like, I could put myself in a better position elsewhere and probably make more money on the open market too, which is, I mean, fair. I'm sure he could. And I'm sure he's going to end up at like a blue blood or something like that, make more money and have a, maybe a better situation, maybe guaranteed starting role or something like that somewhere else. I don't think it was like reading between the lines of who they were recruiting and stuff like that. I don't think he was going to start at Ohio State. I think he was going to come off the bench, even if it wasn't day one. I could see like the way things were trending, the lineup just would have made more sense if he was coming off the bench.
Yeah. I know you were initially kind of optimistic they could both play together, but it's kind of hard just to have two, like in just modern basketball, two guys of that size. Like,
yeah.
Even if Bradshaw moves well, like he's not, I don't know. I mean, this is a little bit of an outdated example, but he's not like prime Kristaps Porzingis, right? He's not like moving around the perimeter, right, swinging the ball or like posting, like, you know, spotting up as a shooter. It's a bit of a different role. So, I mean, I think that him and Akpara would have been a tough fit together. And I mean, of the two, I'd rather have Bradshaw. So I'm cool with it.
Yeah. And so what we're getting to is Ohio State is pursuing Trey Townsend. He's kind of a post, more of a power forward than a true center, out of Oakland. He put up really big numbers in the NCAA tournament. He's one of the top players overall in the portal. He is set to commit to Ohio State. I think Matt Norlander of CBS Sports reported he's going to choose between Ohio State and Arizona this week. I don't know when that
is. He canceled a couple visits too, right? That he was going to take after the OSU visit.
He did. He did. And so I straight up, I really do expect him to commit to Ohio State. I think I posted that on our boards. I think he's going to end up at Ohio State. I would kind of be surprised if he ended up at Arizona after what I was hearing from his visit to Ohio State and just the general vibes around around that. I don't think a definitive decision has been made or announced yet, but I, from what I understand, Ohio State feels very optimistic about where they stand in that whole process. So to me, if you're looking at a starting lineup, like you, I don't think you can play a starting lineup of Bradshaw, Townsend, and Okpara. That just what, like, that's not realistic. That's not a college basketball lineup. That's too big. There's just no way that was going to happen. And I think Okpara would have been the odd man out in that situation. So, I think just reading between the lines there, and he could see what was going to happen. He wasn't going to end up starting. He wasn't going to be in the starting lineup. And I don't really fault him for, looking around after that. It's just very funny that he definitively announced his return and then decided to look around.
Yeah. You have to think this commitment is going to be really tough for Ohio State associate professor of neurological surgery, Christy Townsend, who is currently the top result when you Google Townsend Ohio State.
College basketball is wild, though. Like, people don't really like cover it in terms of like it doesn't work the same way. You don't have the same insiders. There's just a lot of people that just like they don't know.
I like to do the numbers on college basketball. There are a lot more analytics guys in college basketball than there are.
And a lot fewer recruiting guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Many fewer. One of my good buddies, Rob Cassidy, is the head recruiting guy for us. Maybe we get him on sometime if you wanted to.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Just tell him about the fucking guys we got. But there's not many of them. There's like five or six that are serious about it.
Yeah, and so that does get into issues because like you have the team guys straight up. A lot of recruiting guys get their information straight from kids. That's just like, I mean, the nature of the business. And I don't know. It's a different vibe in college basketball versus college football because you don't have that many reporters talking to kids, going to camps, going to AAU events and stuff like that. Like maybe some teams, but like it's not a whole blown out industry the same way that college football recruiting is. And so from the like kids perspective, there just isn't a lot of information. And some schools are just willing to give more information to reporters than others. And so sometimes they're just like straight up is no information on recruits. You just don't know until like they announce or you hear something from an assistant or, you know, that it's just, it is a different industry completely.
Yeah, 100%. It's way different from football where everyone's like really plugged in with the coach. In order to be good at the job in football, you have to be plugged in with the coaches, where I feel like, I don't know, somehow in college basketball recruiting, despite there being way fewer players, the coaches seem to be less aware of like what the players are doing. It's really, really odd.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure it's like the AAU handlers you should be talking to, but it's a very different game. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I have no interest in ever doing that, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's completely different. That said, we do get bits and pieces of information from, wherever we can get it. But I think, now that Okpara is gone, this one isn't even related to Okpara. They would have pursued him anyway. Sean Stewart of Duke. I think they're going to try to get him on campus within the next. He's a former five-star recruit transferring from Duke. They're going to try to get him to campus. I mean, obviously he hasn't visited yet, and so there's no good feeling one way or another. And I think they're going to, after Okpara is gone, they're going to pursue two of the big guys from Tennessee is what I was hearing. That's not like firsthand information. I was reading that somewhere, but I don't remember where it was. I think that's Jonas Adu, and he's a 7-footer. He was really good this year. And another one. I don't remember who it was. But so Ohio State is like, they're not done in the portal. They're still trying to add. If they can add Townsend and Sean Stewart out of the portal, like it's a legitimately very good team. And I think like Diebler has done well. I will give this to Jake Diebler already. He is handling the portal better than Chris Holtmann ever did, because I think the way that Chris Holtmann handled the portal was he looked at his roster the way that it was, and he said, okay, I have these holes. I need a big man and I need a guard. And he would go and like cautiously recruit those positions with like a role player that could come in and kind of add strength or whatever.
Yeah, maybe contribute, but not really like kind of be a star.
Yeah. He very much like wanted to augment his current roster with the portal. And Diebler, it's very small sample size, but Diebler so far has seemed to look at who is in the portal and said, I think I can get this guy and he's better than what I currently have, and goes and gets him. And if the players that you have want to stay after you do that, that's great. If they don't, that's great. You'll bring in more guys to fill the depth too. And that's like, that's the winning approach in college basketball. I think that there's a misconception of people who only, you know, follow football and stuff like that. That doesn't really work in football for a lot of reasons. We've seen a lot of teams fail doing that approach.
There's 85 guys on the roster.
Yeah, it just doesn't work as well. And I think it's a little harder to project what players are going to do from team to team. Whereas college basketball, it's you know, if a guy can shoot, he can shoot. If he can play in the post, he can, you know, skills translate a lot better from system to system. So I think like that is it's a proven winning strategy. Ohio State was really the only major team, when you really look across the board, that has completely shit the bed on transfers the past few years. Like every other team is like, their transfers have done really well, and it's like a winning strategy to pursue transfers. You ask any college basketball coach and they will essentially give you the answer of like, why would I recruit freshmen that I have to like develop and coach up for years before they're ready to play, when I can simply get like a, you know, a guy who's played in the MAC for 4 years, who's ready to play and come in and contribute now. Like it's just a different approach in college basketball compared to college football. And the transfers seem to really work. I think it was Baylor last year. It was Kansas State. Almost made the Final Four with a team that was entirely, the whole lineup was transfer players. So like, you can build a very good team out of the transfer portal. It doesn't mean you have to stop recruiting. Like you just don't recruit high school. But all that to say, the way so far Diebler has approached the transfer portal is more conducive to winning in modern college basketball. Like it's, even if the results are worse, like even if he gets all of these players in here and they actually suck, like at least the process is better that he's trying, I guess, is kind of what I mean.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like you said, it's way different. And especially, you know, I think there are only so many guys in basketball. Like basketball is such a smaller talent pool than football.
Yeah.
Like there are a lot of body types who work in high school football who won't work in college football, and the same thing for college football to the pros. And like, but you can find a lot more diverse skill set in college football, and have guys like, there's fewer, it's easier to hide a mediocre player in college football than it is in college basketball. Guys can really get exposed in college basketball. I think just the talent pool is so much smaller for the guys who can really be major contributors to winning like Sweet 16 type programs. It's a much smaller list of players. So I think like taking ones who've proven they can contribute and be effective at the college level, it makes sense a lot of places. And because your roster is smaller to begin with, you know, you can add in a player and plug him in, and it's not going to be completely detrimental, because there's already a lot of roster turnover every season. Like, you know, the roster turnover in college football is going to be a third of it. It's like half of a roster turns over every year in college basketball.
Yep. One way or another.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So being proactive and hunting proven players is great. And like, look, we're seeing now Ohio State took 2 years to drag its feet on this, but like, we are the richest motherfuckers in college sports.
Yeah.
We have more money than anyone. Like, yeah, throw it around. And like, sure, most of it goes to football, and it always will and always should. But there is plenty left over for basketball.
Yeah. I think that's something I can emphasize with Roddy Gale, especially. Like, the decision was not about money. Like, he was going to get paid plenty at Ohio State, from what I understand, at least. Yeah. And then Akpara, like, he already got his package, and I think he just realized that he could get more. Ohio State wasn't willing. It is true that he, from what I understand, that he was seeking more money and that he wanted to go to, quote unquote, like, the highest bidder. Like, I think there's truth to that, but, like, don't get it twisted. Like, if Ohio State wanted to,
it was about Ohio State's prioritization. Yeah. Exactly. Resources.
Exactly. Yeah. It was, if Ohio State wanted him back and really wanted him back, they would have just simply said, like, okay, here's more money. Like, it wasn't like a hostage situation. It wasn't like, there have been some hostage situations before in football, especially, you know, like,
JT? Yeah.
Like, that happens. But like, this is not the situation where Ohio State lost because they were poor, and this is a kid that got super greedy and went out. So, like, by all accounts, like, it makes sense that he left. You can hate on him for wanting a different opportunity or whatever, but like,
I can hate him for going to Michigan, not for leaving.
I was talking about Akpara, not Gale.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's the same sort of situation. In both cases, like, it was a prioritization thing.
Yeah.
I agree. Hate on him for going to Michigan. Don't hate on him for leaving. It makes all the sense in the world for him to leave. I think both players, it makes all the sense in the world for them to leave. They are actively recruiting essentially over both players. So I get it. But yeah, that said, I really appreciate the way Diebler has come in and is now handling this.
Yeah.
The transfer portal.
We're going to get off basketball in a second, transition to football. But I do just want to say also, seeing how much money we have for basketball and like how we can just get really players now, I think we can afford enough to pick one other sport we decide to just get really sick at.
Yeah. It'd be
cool. Like, we're already good at wrestling, right? Obviously everyone knows we win championships and tennis and, you know, synchronized swimming, a lot of other places. Either track and field or hockey, one of those two, we should decide to start dominating.
Yeah. Hockey would be really cool. I feel like track is a little harder. Like, that's a harder thing to dominate at a school like Ohio State, because there's so much that's inside. Like, you just have to be inside all the time. Whereas like hockey, like, they're used to being inside. That's just kind of what it is. Like, it would be hard to recruit a track athlete away from like any of the Pac-12 schools.
Fair enough. Okay. Well then, yeah, fuck that. Let's pick hockey. Like, there's no reason we can't be a top, you know, 10-ish hockey team.
None at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you've got, especially if you did it right, shit. The current women's hockey coach immediately came and like started like hanging out with the Blue Jackets and shit, and like leveraging the relationship with the local like NHL team that's right down the street. And by all accounts, like, I mean, on some level, the men's team has done that, but I just feel like there's a lot left that you can leverage from being in a cold weather city with an NHL team.
For sure. That's something the Steelers and Pitt Panthers do pretty well in football.
Yeah.
Like, Pitt is otherwise a completely unremarkable, like, to be honest, an unremarkable school with very minimal modern success, but they do emphasize like, hey, you're in the same building as Mike Tomlin 6 days a week.
Yeah.
And like, that's something where there's definitely more opportunity for overlap between the men's program and the Jackets. So I'd like to see more of that happen. And we can be good at that. There's no reason we can't. I mean, I know hockey's like a pretty top heavy blue blood sport, and a lot of those teams are in the Northeast or like Minnesota and Michigan, but we can definitely break in.
I also heard, I don't think this is super realistic. I think this is more of a pipe dream, but I heard Bjork is, I don't want to say obsessed. Obsessed is the wrong word. I've heard that he is very interested in making the Ohio State baseball program at least good.
That's, unrealistic, I think.
I think it is, too. I think it is, too. But I know that a conversation occurred between him and Ohio State's baseball head coach about, like, what is it going to take to get Ohio State to Omaha?
And, probably a new coach, right? Our coach sucked, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's a newish coach. I think he's new this year or last year. But, yeah, the previous coach got canned. So
Heard. Well, anyway, that's basketball and other sports for the week. We're gonna talk about football in a second here. Let's talk about Home Field really quick, Kevin. You want to tell the good folks about our wonderful sponsor, Home Field Apparel?
Yeah, Home Field Apparel. If you are late to the game, Home Field Apparel is the best vintage-inspired collegiate apparel that you can find on the internet or elsewhere. It is the softest and the coolest designs. Like, genuinely, just go on their website and just browse through. Don't even just go to Ohio State. I know you're probably an Ohio State fan if you're listening to this. Don't even just go to Ohio State. Just, like, peruse all of the offerings that they have. I have never seen a more diverse collection of just, you know, colleges, universities. They even have some pro teams now too. It is genuinely, I am baffled sometimes at some of the designs that they come up with. Sometimes I'm even jealous. Like, you have that feeling sometimes when a school, when they drop some, like, some sweet apparel from a school, like even like Notre Dame or something like that, that you're just like almost wishing that you supported that team because the apparel is so cool. I feel that way about Notre Dame a lot specifically. I think I've mentioned that on this podcast before. I just love their like vintage looking stuff. It looks so cool. And maybe there's something attached to it that's like, well, like the nostalgia is that like the last time they were good, this stuff was cool for the first time. But all that to say, any team that you support, Home Field has you covered. They've got some really cool Ohio State stuff too, obviously. So go to homefieldapparel.com. And if you have not ordered from Home Field yet, you can use the code MEETATMIDFIELD to take 15% off your first order. Unfortunately, it doesn't work for any order past that, but we'll get you covered for your first order. And yeah, I mean, again, it is the softest stuff, the coolest stuff. We wear it. We are not above selling things that we don't wear. But in this case, we do very much support them. We support the company. They're good people, good company, ethically sourced, ethically manufactured, all of that, and just good stuff. So we cannot emphasize enough. It's a good brand to support if you're into supporting good brands.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. 100%. I wear all the time. I got some as gifts for my girlfriend and her family. And we love it, and highly recommend anyone else check it out too. So besides that, Kevin, we have another topic before we go to the premium podcast. This fucking kicker, huh? Graham Nicholson. So here's the thing. I got a heads up from a staff source at Ohio State, which shockingly I do still have those, who, when Nicholson hit the portal, he told me, and this is, by the way, someone I was like plugging that Ohio State should be inducing to the portal in like December or January. I was talking about him. He is the Lou Groza winner for 2023. Hit the portal, and an Ohio State staff source texted me he would be shocked if he did not end up at Ohio State. That did not happen, obviously. It's not for lack of money. I think it is basically that the staff decided not to.
Cool.
Which is really stupid.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah. I guess... It's just, if you've already spent all this money, I guess it's not a lack of money. It's just, if you're already sunk this deep into kind of win at all costs next year, what are you doing? Just like, go ahead and get the best kicker available. You might need to win a game with a 50-yard field goal. Like, who do you want? God, it's very odd. Very odd.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's annoying. He obviously should be a Buckeye. The kid's from Cincinnati. He, you know, went to school in Miami of Ohio. It should be such a fucking layup.
Well, I want to read the stat comparison here. Jaden Fielding compared to Graham Nicholson. This is from our good friend's Athlete in Space on Twitter. Jaden Fielding from 40 to 49 yards is 5 for 8. Compare that to Graham Nicholson, who is 9 for 10. And 50 plus, Fielding missed his one kick of 50 plus, which was famously in the Michigan game right before the half. And Nicholson was 1 for 1 from 50 plus. So, like, the numbers don't really lie there. Maybe Fielding got better, but, like, just purely, like, we're talking about a guy that missed one kick last year and hit a 50 yarder compared to a guy who missed half of his kicks last year. And you just like didn't go for it.
Yeah. It's deeply bizarre and frustrating. I think the real answer and just what we've seen from Day is that he just doesn't really give a fuck about special teams, right? Like he was just okay with Parker Fleming hanging out for 2 or 3 years. You know, he was just like, all right, without upgrading really a kicker. They like, you know, really weren't going to do anything at punter until that Australian came in last second, basically got last minute eligibility and like literally showed up at their doorstep as part of a tour. They were just going to hang out without him. Like they just don't really do anything. They don't really care about it as far as I can tell, which I don't know. I mean,
that was even more hilarious / cringe inducing when they had a full-time special teams coordinator and still didn't do shit on special teams. At least now they're not paying somebody to be a full-time special teams coordinator, but like it still blows my mind.
Mine too, buddy. Mine too. It really, really does. It's frustrating. If they miss a kick to win a playoff game or to beat Michigan or something, I will lose my shit.
Yeah. I love one of the replies to the tweet that I was referencing. A person said, because we're not Colorado, go get Graham for a single year, Fielding leaves, then what? Go get another transfer kicker after Graham? Yeah. What the hell is the problem? Like, you can just simply sign another kicker. There's like, that's a within the rules. I think like you're just missing the point that I think Fielding is just a replacement level kicker. There are like probably a dozen in the portal every year that are comparable to Fielding's numbers. Like you can sign a new one every single year and lose nothing. And that's not even like a new novel concept. Like Urban Meyer, I think half of Urban Meyer's kickers were graduate transfers too. Like Tyler Durbin was one. There's a Duke one. I don't know. Like it, that's just not like a weird thing to just sign a new kicker every year.
Yeah, no, I have no problems with it. Like, I mean, it's like kicking is one of the most like context proof jobs. It's not like your kicking gets easier at a lower level.
Yeah. Even punting is like, has a little more nuance to it because you're relying on like a coverage team and stuff like that. But like, kicking, you just go out there and you kick the ball through an upright.
Right. Like if you're talking about block kicks or whatever, that's fine. But like how many kickers are actually pressured? Like it's so rare to have a kick messed up by pressure or something like that. It's I mean, my God, I don't know. It's just such an easy thing to look at the numbers
and just get the best one.
And to just get the best one.
That's like, what the NFL teams do. If the guy starts sucking, they cut him and they sign a different one. Like I cannot emphasize enough, like, this guy was like, you want to sacrifice 3 years of growth for a single year? That's really weird, and it isn't stable beyond that year. Yeah, maybe at every other position. Like, that's a valid argument in a lot of positions. It's a kicker. Like, you go get the best one, and if he leaves the next year, you sign the next best
kicker. You do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not expensive either. Like, how much are they spending on a guy? Like, you know, what's the most you could possibly spend on a kicker? $100,000?
Yeah. Come on. God.
That's like third string defensive tackle money.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very weird. I don't understand. And it kind of pisses me off too that he ended up at Alabama again, because the whole thing with Alabama is like Nick Saban seemed to understand that. And I guess I was hoping that with Saban gone, that they'd slip and stop being as aggressive as a program or whatever, but no, looks like they're just going to keep doing things the correct way to win football games, and Ohio State's going to keep doing its thing too. So I think you've hit on this a lot too. It's tough to make a huge deal about this because like this feels like just like a marginal thing. But as you've mentioned, Ohio State has not really done anything to get marginally better and have actively refused to get marginally better and have instead gotten marginally worse in a lot of ways over the years. And this is just another example of that.
Yep. Yeah. It's frustrating. It's just like I know people are going to think we're freaking out over nothing, but it is just like the acceptance of a lack of excellence. Yeah. Like if you have the opportunity easily to do so, to become excellent in any area on the field and you decline that opportunity, especially when money's not an object, it's unacceptable. It's just straight up, it can't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I completely agree. And I think, again, like it's another thing where it's just process over result too, because there's a chance that like the kid goes to Alabama and sucks ass next year and then fielding ends up being awesome or whatever. But like based on the information you have, I just don't know how you could like be like, oh no, we're good. We don't want the best kicker in the country.
Yeah. Oh, goddamn, dude. Well, another Ryan Day off season. Yeah. I will choose to focus this negativity because it fuels me. But
that's what this yeah. is. Come on. People know the drill at this point.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, let's go over to the premium podcast. You and I are going to talk a bit about Ohio State's current recruiting situation. Talk about the transfer portal, both for our team and around college football. And if we have a little extra time, we're going to get into talking about Michigan and kind of where they stand at the end of spring with the spring portal window open and kind of what to take stock of there. So, Kevin, I will see you in the premium.
Yeah, sounds good. Come hang out with us.